Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Paul's writing to the church of Galatia. They had started well. Salvation had been given to them and multitudes had come to know the Lord. And then there is a sort of a rift in the church. There is a division over a doctrinal issue, as happens many times even in our present world. And some of them were taken away, and some of them were literally their faith in the Lord was damaged because of the false teaching that was given. And Paul writes in verse number 6 to these folks, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. By the way, those folks are still living today. Now, there are some that will trouble us, and there are those that would pervert the gospel of Christ. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and excuse me, Galatians 3 and verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He said, the only thing I want to ask you is, did you get saved by the works of the law or did you get saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, there are those that had come into Galatia and they were teaching that a person could believe on Christ, but in order to go to heaven, they had to fulfill and do all the things that the law had given to them as Jews. And of course, the Gentile people were never under the law. They were never commanded to follow the commandments of God. And so Paul brings it down. He says, I'm amazed or I marvel that you're so soon removed. There are those that trouble you or those that will pervert the gospel. And he said, one question, were you saved by faith? Or were you saved by works? And I believe when we answer that question, we'll understand whether or not we're saved. There are a multitude of people today that think they're going to heaven, but they're trying to get there in their own ways and their own means because someone has perverted the gospel. Now notice over in 1 Peter chapter number 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. I want to tell you here who the perverter of the gospel is. And he has his cohorts and his workers very active in our society. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now here's the encouragement. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. I'll guarantee if you're saved by works, you're not going to resist these things by faith. And so the roaring lion, the devil, he comes about to devour us and to seek us. And Peter says now, this one when he comes, resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want us to think this morning upon our enemy that we have that is before us, and the workings that the devil does around us to pervert the gospel. You see, he will do everything in his power to make sure that we go no farther in our service to the Lord. He wants to stunt our growth. And then certainly he will do all that he can in his power to make sure our little ones, our children, do not hear the truth to ever be saved. We believe in an eternal salvation, and therefore the devil cannot obtain you and I that have been saved, but he can snatch our children from us. He can snatch our grandchildren from us, and they can. All has to happen is for them to get involved somewhere with folks and groups that would pervert the gospel. For a perverted gospel brings about a perverted salvation that is not real. It brings about what he talked of here in chapter 1 of Galatians. He says, I marvel that you're so moved unto another gospel. Then in Paul, after he says that, he qualifies it. He says, which is not another. It's a perverted gospel. It's not another gospel, but it's a gospel that has been changed or perverted whereby people would not know the truth. And the one that does that is our enemy, the devil. And through his workings and his activities, we find the Scripture has much to say about the arch enemy of the Lord, and his name has been given to us in many different ways and forms and fashions. But we need to understand that he comes many times as an angel of light. He comes looking pretty good, but his message is pretty bad. He comes looking okay, but the message that he gives to us is a perverted message that has a little bit of truth in it, or maybe a lot of truth and a little bit of ungodliness and falsehood, and a little bit will, the Scripture says, a little leaveneth will leaven the whole lump. All of a sudden, it's all infiltrated by ungodliness and wickedness. We live in a society today that has literally gone crazy as far as humanity is concerned. I heard on the news where somewhere some people, at least one person I know, got trampled to death at a Walmart store. Now, that's beyond my comprehension. Why that a $25 drill is that important, or a $2 something else, or a $50 thing that ought to be $100? Why that is so important that life means nothing. But we're living in a society that life is not sacred any longer, and we're going to see it get worse as the days progress. And the reason for that is not just society as a whole, but the reason that we're living and things are happening as they are is because we have an enemy, and he right now is wielding a lot of control over all this world. The Bible calls him the God of this world. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air. There are several erroneous concepts about Satan. Some think he's a mythical character. Some talk about a force that is evil. Some people talk about he is in our imagination. Some religious groups say that he's just that which bothers us in our spirit. But the Bible declares to us that he is a person, that he's real, and he had a beginning. He has his work that he's doing, and thank God he has an end. And we'll look at some of those things. It is not this one that is a horrible, hideous-looking individual that sometimes is depicted to us, but he sometimes dresses himself up looking pretty good. Sometimes he dresses himself up and looks just like you and I. Sometimes, even for a while, he acts like you and I, but in reality, the workers of iniquity, somewhere in the space of time, their works will be manifest in their lives, and they will be exposed. He is not some weak, stupid being that people talk about. He's not someone that God's just left behind, and he's not just that wicked force, but this morning he's real and he's subtle. He's second only to God in power. Now we must remember that the devil is more powerful than you and I. When we get to the idea that we can handle the devil, we're being handled pretty well by him. The only person that's more powerful than Satan is the God of heaven. The only one that has more power than the devil is God, Lord Jesus Christ. But he is real, and he has a lot of power. He is an intelligent being. He has self-determination. He claims authority. He says he has authority, for when Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, the devil offered the Lord all the kingdoms of this world. Now, in reality, the devil probably has most of the kingdoms of this world in his clutches. And he claimed authority and power because he offered them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want us to just come down to reality for a little while and realize why everything is happening the way it is not just a society that's deteriorating, and it is deteriorating. It's not just because we live in a nation that is going down the tube, and it is going down the tube, but where we are and what's taking place around us is because of the wicked one and all his cohorts or his workers of iniquity. It's because of the devil. I believe he knows his time is short. I believe the Bible teaches that. He knows the time and the seasons in which we live, just like the Bible tells us that we can know the time and the season. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, as I said in our Sunday school class this morning, when Jesus died on the cross, that was the death blow to the devil. That was the final blow in his humanity, or his life and his personality, and it's just taking a process of time for that death blow to take effect, and he will be out of existence as far as you and I are concerned. For the Bible says he's going to be chained in an endless eternity without God, never to be revived ever again. The Bible calls him Satan. It calls him the devil. In the book of Revelation, he's called a dragon, a great dragon. He's called the deceiver. He's called the wicked one. He's called the god of this age or the god of this world. He's called and referred to as Beelzebub. He's called the prince of this world. He's called the adversary. He's called a murderer. And Jesus said to those Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil, and he's a liar from the very beginning. And so the scripture tells us, gives us a lot of names that depict his personality. He is a God. He has a kingdom. He has a rule. He is a deceiver. He's going about whom he can deceive. And he is a destroyer. The Bible tells us there where we read in Peter, he's seeking whom he may devour. He's ready, and he's ready to attack and destroy at a given moment. All he sees, all he has to see is a point of weakness in our life, and he lunges at us, and he brings forth a disturbance in our life and sometimes a blow upon us, and he tries to destroy the child of God and tries to destroy those that are lost without God and without hope. So therefore, when Paul writes to the Galatian people about this perversion of the gospel, he's writing about a very serious accusation. He's writing about a very serious happening that took place in that church. For if you pervert the gospel, there's no more salvation that is given to the generation to come. And you see, the devil, he desires to pervert the truth so that those coming up from behind us, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on and on, generation to generation, his desire, he can't do anything about me, he can only trouble me, but he can get a hold of them, and he can capture them, and he can bring them down to the depths of despair with him one day. And so he works very diligently to deceive. He works very diligently to be an adversary and a liar. He has never told the truth. He never will tell the truth. He's the wicked one. The Bible tells us back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28. These are interesting words about this person. Ezekiel 28 and verse number 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now we know he was there. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, the devil is not eternal. He is a created being. And here in Ezekiel is giving us a description when he was in the garden of God and even before that. It says in verse number 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." This is the description of Lucifer. Lucifer was his heavenly name. He was a cherub. He was an angel that was created of God. And we could read other places, but for sake of time, we'll not. It seemed as though that he probably was the highest of all the angels that were created. The Bible talks about him taking care of the music and taking care of all the glories and the musical part of heaven. That's why music's very depraved now. He is that God over music. And he has twisted and turned and destroyed everything that is righteous and good. He has destroyed it with his ways of wickedness. And the Bible says he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in his heart. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 14, you'll find that the devil there in heaven, he said, "I will arise and I will be like the Most High." He made the choice of his own life that he was going to overthrow God, and he said, "I'm going to be just like him." You see, pride and arrogance came into the life of this angelic being called Lucifer. And the Bible says that he was cast to the earth, and a third part of heaven fell with him. And those are his demons that are working on his behalf even today. Now, don't get confused now. The devil's not omnipresent. So when you hear somebody say, "The devil made me do it," very, very seldom that the devil makes us do anything. The devil can't be here and there at the same time. But he has a lot of workers. They can be everywhere. And the influence of the wicked one can put upon us the force whereby and tempt us and try us and make us have a miserable life because they fell with him in that great fall. I wish we had time to go into all the details about that, but this morning I just want us to look at this enemy that we have and to realize where we are in our life is because of what he has done in days gone by, what he's doing today, and it's not going to get any better because the days ahead are days of much wickedness. Do not be disturbed or confused that the devil, he's not in hell, and I don't think he's ever been there, but he's going there. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, but he hasn't taken up his abode yet. Just like heaven is prepared for us, and Jesus said, "I go prepare a place for you." Now we're going there. We're not there yet, but we're headed there. The devil's not there yet, but he's headed there, and he has access, I believe, and some people disagree with this, but I believe he has access to the very throne of God. He's accuser of the brethren, the Scripture says. He'll come along and he'll accuse before God some things that we've done. And you know, sometimes his accusations are right. Sometimes what he'll say about us, we have done. Sometimes those things that we have committed, and the devil will go to God and say, "Look at one of your children." He's an accuser. Oh, but thank God we have a great advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. I believe there's a continual battle that goes on there for influence and there for all eternity. And so we find here that he is active upon this earth. We read there in Peter that he walks about this earth seeking whom he may devour. He knows the potholes to put in front of you. He knows the mountains to put before you. He knows the valleys that'll make you weep. He knows the problems that'll cause disturbances upon your life. And he knows how to put them there. Oh, but thank God, just as we have an advocate in heaven, we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. We have a comforter in our soul, in our life, that can guide us and direct us. He is the great God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And I sort of think you could add along with that, he's the prince of the power of the airwaves. Everything you hear today is wickedness and ungodliness. The reason that a couple of days ago you had 185 or 95 people killed in a country, the country of India, is because of the prevalence of the wicked power and the wicked presence that destroys and tears down life. That's not just a happening. That's a complete, total action of the wicked one. Of course, it was aimed, primarily part of it was aimed at the Jewish community. The rabbi and his wife were killed, and others were killed, and he destroys, he hates the Jew. But just as he hates the Jew and hates and destroys them, he hates us as Christians just the same. Because we have the truth, we have the message, and his aim is to do what he can do to destroy and to tear down. He wants to overthrow, and he thinks he can overthrow the very kingdom of God. He tried it in heaven, and the revelation tells us he's going to try it again. But the Bible tells us he's going to be cast to the earth. We find here the wicked one around us. He opposes the gospel. He blinds unbelievers. He gives them thoughts in their heart that would destroy any understanding of the Scripture. He totally annihilates those and incites men to evil and tries to destroy everything good in his presence. He opposes God's people because he opposes God. And he opposes us because we belong, thank God, we belong to him. Therefore, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the god of this world. We have the Holy Spirit within us that is greater than that wicked one. He has methods. He has a message. It's a message of religion. It's a message of deception. It's a message that will tear down and destroy and literally pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His gospel is an ancient gospel. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of it from the very beginning. From the very moment that iniquity found in his heart there in heaven, we find that he was a liar from that moment, and he continues to lie, and people believe a lie a lot easier and a lot quicker than they believe the truth. That's why we have folks today that believe everything. I mean, some of the most ludicrous things, and call it religion. There are those that use religion for their own good and for their own sake and for their own building their kingdoms. And I personally believe that is energized by the wicked one. The devil has a gospel. It's an ancient gospel. It's nothing new. It's nothing new for people to scoff at hell and to make fun of that. It's nothing new for men to mock the idea that sin is going to be punished by a righteous God. I hear folks all the time, they laugh at a God in heaven that would judge for sin. They just need to read the book. But not only that, they need to believe the book. More than that, we need to preach the book so they can hear it. And this message and this gospel that he has, it seemingly is a plausible gospel. Why, people in their intellect, they can look at it and say, well, that sounds pretty good. Why, it sounds all right that there not be a... Well, yeah, we believe in heaven, but there's not a hell. I wouldn't, as I said the other Sunday night, if I believed like some of these religious groups do, I wouldn't want to believe in hell either. Because if you do, you're going there. But just because a person doesn't believe, it doesn't make it true. Just because a person rejects and makes fun and mocks the God of glory. And I think our society has literally gone crazy. I'd heard about it. Dusty was telling me this morning that they saw it. Some of the Walmart stores have pulled them off because of the cry against it. But there's little insignificant dolls in Walmart stores now. And they cry, they whine, they whimper. And then all of a sudden they come out with a statement that, what was it? Islam is the light. Now America's crazy. Islam wants to destroy us. And then to sell it to little boys and girls like my grandchildren, your children, and all of a sudden, it's not marked that way. There's not a warning up there that this is for certain groups of people. I'd probably go to jail. I'll take a knife and stab every one of them. Make sure it don't talk anymore. Cut its throat. Go somewhere where there's no cameras. I'll stop there. But you know what that is? That's the influence of the wicked one. That's the influence of this character I'm trying to tell us about and warn us that Paul said, I'm surprised. I marvel that you're so soon removed. I marvel at our country that we are so soon removed from 9/11. Now we have a president that very, very, very close to the Islamic world. I marvel. Why'd that happen? Because somewhere down the line, somebody perverted the gospel. That is the crux of the problem. Somewhere down the line, the truth got hidden in all the ideas. Somewhere down the line, the message of Jesus Christ became incorrect, and we can't say it, and we can't say Merry Christmas and get rid of all of that. We want to live in a secular world instead of a Christian world. Go look up the word secular in your dictionary. You won't use that term anymore. We have Christian colleges and we have secular colleges. Go look up the word secular and see if you want to send your child to that kind of a college. That's where we're losing the battle. Baptist people lost a long time in their religious colleges. Thank God some of them have come back. But we are losing a generation of young people to the higher thought, critical thinking. You think I'd send a child to listen to Bill Ayers say anything? But yeah, he's a professor. Well respected at one of the great colleges of our country. Gag. He's just like he always was. He hates this country, he hates God, and he hates us. But yeah, we'll pay multitude of bucks for our children to have higher education. I'd rather educate them at the hearth of my home. Oh, get off of that. He has his gospel. And it sounds plausible. It sounds acceptable. It sounds intelligent. It's because the God of this world has blinded the eyes and the minds of those that do not believe. What does the gospel of the devil do? Well, it comforts the wicked, makes them feel good in their sin. Well, there's no such thing as authority. If it feels good, do it. There's no such thing as right or wrong. It's just if it's right to you, if it's wrong to you, then that's just the way it is. Now, this book says it's either right or wrong. You see, the whole world system is at odds against this book that we say we believe. It comforts the wicked. All that evolution and modernism does is comfort the wicked. If I was an evolutionist, said I come from a little tadpole, monkey, or whatever, I wouldn't want to think I was going to go to God. So just do away with God, do away with the thought of God. Read Romans chapter 1 and you find out when they go from the thought of God to their own imagination, you know the next thing that takes place. Total wickedness against God until he says, I give them over to a reprobate mind. It's a process, and we're watching it take place in our country. The devil's gospel encourages individuals to continue in their sin. If there's no judgment for sin, then just do what you want to do. If there's no accountability, then live the way you want to live. Bless your heart, there is an accountability one day to stand before God. It encourages individuals to continue in sin. The devil's gospel certainly denies God's word. It diverts the mind and the thoughts off of eternity onto right now. What can I do for myself today? You better think, what can I do for myself 1,000 years from now? Much more important. Well, how am I going to make it today and tomorrow? How are you going to make it in eternity? Should be the question. The devil's gospel leads to a thoughtlessness as to God. The Bible says in Romans 1 that they even did not want to retain God in their knowledge. More kids today know what Santa Claus is than they do Jesus Christ is. Because our secular schools have done away with God. The devil's gospel leads to a thoughtlessness as to God. Adam is a good example. Adam and Eve, a good example of that. God said, thou shalt not eat of the tree. But the devil come along and said, did he really mean it? Did he really say it? Hath God said? Why, he know. Why, God know. Here comes this stuff of being plausible and intelligent. The devil came to Eve and he said, God knows that if you do that, you're going to be like him. Oh, that sounds pretty good. He said, you're going to die? You're not going to die. You're going to live forever. All thing wrong is when they took the fruit, the forbidden fruit, they began to die that moment. And they are going to live forever. He's going to do that anyway. So the devil's cast out of heaven. He falls from heaven. And with him he brings all his spewing of evil and wickedness. And as time goes on and more generation after generation gets away from God, the only gospel they have is a perverted gospel. The Bible says, make sure I can say it right. I just thought of it. The Bible says during the tribulation, that if it was possible that even the very elect would be deceived. Buddy, that's powerful. And then we think we can fight the devil. I heard somebody say the other day, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Well, he sits by and laughs. He's literally, the devil sits by and laughs when we think we have that kind of power. His gospel will lead to a transgression of God's law. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. The devil's gospel will dislike the presence of God. When Adam lived in the garden and he sinned, what did he do? He went and hid himself. Where art thou, Adam? Well, God, I'm over here behind the tree. I knew I was naked and I didn't want to. He'd always been that way. But now, his mind's been enlightened by the wicked one, and he wants to hide from God. In the tribulation, the Bible says they're going to get in the rocks and the caves, and they're going to say, let them fall on us. They're hiding from the very presence of God. But you go to Revelation chapter 20, all the dead shall stand before God. small and great, rich and poor. And the sea shall open up and give forth the dead that's in them. Nobody's going to escape God. But now the devil says, that's not true. Well, that's just an old wives' tale. That's just a fairy tale that your grandparents believe. We're more enlightened than that now. If you do very much talking to people, you'll find out people around our community believe that. Well, I know my parents and grandparents, they went to church all the time. They believe that. I just don't believe that, preacher. What's happened? The gospel has been perverted. But there's going to come an end to him, thank God. There's an end to his gospel. Everybody that believes it's going to die shameful and outside the fold of God. And they're going to have a meeting place one day. Revelation chapter 20, turn there. Revelation chapter 20. He's performed his miracles. He's performed his mighty works. He's deceived and he's done all his work, but there comes an end to it. And John said in Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, you be assured that him that sat on it is all powerful, all authority. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I don't understand that, but I sure do believe it. There's a great white throne there in heaven, and all of a sudden, heaven and earth, they flee away. But notice what happened. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I believe there's the place where we find in the book of Matthew those that stand before God and they say, Lord, Lord, did we not? Did we not cast out devils and demons? Did we not do mighty wonderful works in your name? And the Lord will say, what? Depart from me. I believe this is when that happens. The Bible says they were judged according to their works, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire. The devil's gospel ends in an individual being separated forever and forever and forever without God. The gospel of the devil is incurable. There's no second chance. There's no in-between ground. When you leave this world, you leave saved or you leave lost. No, maybe, hope so. One of the two. If you leave saved, thank God we're going to be with Him forever and forever. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not this judgment, thank God. We're going to stand before Him. But this judgment is the white throne judgment. And everybody that's at this judgment is lost. It doesn't matter who they are, great or small. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter where they're buried. Doesn't matter where they got their resting place of the body. They're going to stand before God. That judgment is so terrible and dreadful that even heaven and earth flee from it. And when all is said and done, when it's all over, I know it makes good singing, but you're not going to have to sing "Search the Book" again. I don't believe there'll be any searching on our part. And I don't believe there'll be any pleading to God. Because every person that stands before Him at the white throne judgment stands there justly and correctly and is judged by a righteous and holy God. And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. And the Bible says here, this is the second death. Whosoever not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. And goes on in verse number 8 of chapter 21. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is second death. Book's closed. It's over. Now, tomorrow when we hear of all the wickedness that goes on in this world, in our society, and even our community, I've told you this morning who is really at fault. It's not because we haven't had good schools, it's because we haven't had good churches. And that hits home. It's not because we can't read, it's because we haven't read. It's not because society's not treated us fairly, it's because we haven't learned about the society that God wants to give us. The world in which we live is controlled, under the influence, and will go down fighting for their God. He's the God of this world. But I'm glad I know who wakes up on the other side. His name is Jesus Christ, our great advocate. And He'll take care of us. He'll help us. In the midst of every storm, every trial, every problem that comes our way, thank God He is my Lord. And all we can do is to tell the world that Jesus saves. They may mock it. That's nothing new. The devil mocked it in eternity past. They may make fun of it. That's nothing new. But I'll tell you what is new. One day, they'll stand before a thrice holy God and they'll give an account for the deeds done in their body. Let's stand together this morning.